you never anticipated. And I can only thank and let me thank you also, all of you including members for agreeing to meet today. This meeting was initially scheduled for tomorrow. We try to bring everything forward because we are having
Sorry, Mr. Speaker, can I ask you to speak into the mic? May I ask you to speak into the mic because I'm recording from PMG? Please.
No, you have given my permission.
May I record you, please? Thank you.
Honourable members will remember that the IGC was formed in 1990. and in a particular year, I celebrate 23 years. How fortunate that would be that the celebration comes at the same time as the celebration of the Prophet Mandela. And this is very exciting for us, and we invite upfront that we can at any stage to say, let me invite honorable members, that the people around the country doing our work and doing, you know, whatever we can do, that inviting them to be part of that, so that as we celebrate, we're going to part. We've agreed that it's not a happy time, but as we continue to do our work, that is happy enough for us to be able to showcase. And that is what we give us, the honorable members. Evaluate what we have come out there in the IPC. Certain events in the life of the IPC as it came to be, much as the answer here, the fact that it was heading to the IPC was something. And it's very interesting that now we're talking about the capitalization of the organization. Because we have been reading, we have been doing our projects, we have been reading, South Africa has been developed in process, we've been having the projection that we should do for that time. So this is quite a highlight of the life of the organization, and looking forward to together with the support of the college again, that we will be able to come to another to say, one cup, help our people, one cup, help our people. Our upcoming utility is going to take here in the development arena. It's a good stage then, because much of you are more concerned with the CEO of the IDC and the
thank you, Chairperson. One of the members of the IPC and the nomination of the IPC is that Chairperson, which I think is very relevant to us as we keep it on our corporate plan. I must say that our corporate plan is underpinned by those key elements of the organization. Honorable members and honorable Chairperson, the purpose of our presentation to present the 2011 strategic plan within the NCF that we have planned on. To highlight key priorities and challenges over the NCF period, there's the main budget element that none of the strategic plan that underpin the implementation of the NCF for this plan. We've also fixed the committee approval of the project plan and to provide the committee with further support on the outstanding priorities. Just to remind committee that there in our last appearance, the word issues, as we said, we come back to the point form, but consider the word issues and one of the issues that I have been referring to. Honorable members, the concept of what presentation of our client training is the plan itself in the summarized form of honorable members, I'm starting with the operating environment, and we are saying that 2008 has been one of the most challenging periods in the history of the world. South Africa was not excluded, and we also experienced the recession which had been over 70 years, and that was not happening in the country. And this was the time when we had to all experience that it affected the number of institutions, including the private sector, the public sector itself, individuals and households. As a development agency, our main focus is actually the effect on individuals and households that we are Honourable members, let me also emphasize that the resources available to government have also been affected by this recession. Our price delivery, for instance, the non-transfer of funds by departments, has resulted in a number of programs being suspended and service providers being unpaid. I'm confident that honourable members have seen some of these instances. One example has been a contractor closing the school in the Eastern Cape. And we want to accept and acknowledge upfront that that has been a cause of some of the issues of non-transferring of funds by the departments that we are working on. But we'll get into that in detail as we go along with our presentation. Also, honourable members, 2009-10 was the year of entry for the IDP's 2010-2020 vision. Let me also say that, just to remind honourable members, that we did present our 2010-30 strategy, and and therefore 2010 is the first year of rolling out that strategy. But honourable members, 2009 was our gearing up. Should we have had adequate resources, we would have definitely geared up the organisation. But at the moment, we are going to be presenting to yourselves a very standardized budget and standardized program, because within the constraints, the financial constraints that we've been planning, we have to be able to manage that particular process. The long-term sustainability of the IDP has also been a challenge that has been affected by the constraints there in our planning. As an overview, honorable members, just a bit of a historical background, the chairperson has already said that the establishment of the IDP and its mandate was in 1990. The IDP's forecast and delivery was going to be discussing that how do we deliver our strategies and how have we planned to deliver this corporate service. The retention and strengthening of our business agency, while at the same time being fully compliant with the PSFA, and this has been confirmed, honourable members, by the service that has been identified for this report. We really pride ourselves that we've been able to roll out programs, and we've also been able to balance our accountability principles while we are also delivering our programs. From a development sector, honourable members, we are saying that we've done an analysis of the development gap. And whenever we start our planning process, we do this just to check who are the other people that are playing within the space in which we are also operating as an organization. And what are the complementary measures? I'm very proud, honourable members, to say that together with CIDP and all the other institutions within the community, there are a number of programs and partnerships that will be able to come up, because we do acknowledge that we will not be the only ones that are operating. The strategic shift and the distinctive confidence of offering is quite a good thing. A decrease in the corporate plan is the same of that. Thus, as a recap, honorable members, in terms of the vision, mission, and core values of the organization, our vision, we have retained our vision, which is to be a leading knowledge based development agency. And our mission, together with strategic partners, will enable poor communities to access resources, recognize and unlock their own potential, and continue to improve their quality of life. When we're going through this plan and listening to the directives from the ruling party and from government currently, we'll actually see our mission statement even more relevant than it was when we started as an organization. We have listened attentively that government is saying that the people should be able to participate in the plan and we should be on the ground and interacting with the people. And our mission statement is that we want to recognize and unlock that potential so that people can themselves take responsibility for what is doing in their families. And therefore, we are very convinced and confident that our mission statement talks to the priorities that government has set themselves. the core values of the organization is people centered, integrity, professionalism, accountability, and being visionary. Again, honorable members, we think we've also demonstrated that visionary plan. The IDC came up with a 2010 budget strategy, and current government is also looking to end up that strategy. So if one was in spearheading that, to say that he would not be able to break the cycle of interdimensional poverty within a short space of time. You actually need to have a long strategic focus on that, and that is what we are presenting to your point. The strategic content, honorable members, is that the 2010 strategic vision is premised on understanding that eradication of chronic intergenerational poverty requires a long-term targeted, integrated, and comprehensive strategy and program. And that is the set of deliverables that we are currently aiming at rolling out this year in the IDC. The core principles, honorable members, is the IDC development practice, which will be shaped by the aspirations of the poor households and communities. Investment in community mediation programs. Maybe I should also say a bit more on that. The 2010-30 strategy, when the board was concluding that strategy, they said we need to be able to use the resources of the IDC in investing into community mediation programs. You will see, honorable members, that there are public mediated programs that we implement, and those are the programs where departments appoint us as their implementing agents. In this instance, when we talk about community mandated programs, it is a program that we implement with the IDC resources, the capital part of the IDC that the chairperson referred to that we bought in 1990. The strategies of the IDC, that is between the NCFF, the program of action, and the IDC's 2010-30 strategic vision are very much aligned. So we have been able to take those priorities, including the first indicators that has been discussed, to align our program and the program of action of that. This, honorable members, is the entry phase of the 2010-30 strategic vision to execute the turnaround strategy through the strategies that we will be taking to yourself. And the key initiatives would include the business growth, which would be in line with the key strategic priorities of government, including the rural development, community-based sustainable development projects, and targeting of vulnerable groups. We have, honorable members, who have been presenting to yourself that the women focus at IDC has really been key, but we've also shifted to people with disabilities, to youth, and really to tighten and expand and open up that targeted group that we are serving. Because the vulnerable group, in totality, we can be able to say these are the type of projects that we are implementing with you. The intensity of the local government support, honorable members, and also in line with the turnaround strategies that the Minister of Local Government has been able to pronounce. We are now hearing our interventions at that level to be in line with the turnaround strategies. Of course, honorable members, the long-term financial stability of the IDP and the finalization of the business case of approval financial rules. The business case is the long-term sustainability of the IDP. And we are working on that project, and as well as the development of the nation and that strategy, which is project. The government syndicate has the honorable members to achieve the goal of 2010 census strategic vision. The IBC has adopted the following three objectives. One is to attain sustainable livelihoods through people-centered development intervention. Secondly, is to pioneer innovative development solutions. The chairperson has been talking about the development week. That is just one incident to show that innovation of development solutions, where we are, together with our partners and the communities that we work with, testing some of the models and the methodologies that we will be using to implement. To ensure excellence in service delivery, and we think this is one element that we have also done quite well on, hence, chairperson, I referred earlier to the service services and the strategic objectives, KPIs and targets are aligned to the five key priorities of the NPS. And there's a summary in the next slide which talks to that. Strategic objective number one, is to attain sustainable livelihoods through people-centered development intervention, and the purpose is the implementation of targeted people-centered sustainable development in marginalized and impoverished communities. The measurable objective is the establishment and implementation of integrated sustainable rural development projects and models. The key priority area is the rural development. I can report, honorable members, that we've already signed CIAs with the Ministry of Rural Development, and we've also been part of the piloting that was done in the area. We're also now documenting the lessons learned from that pilot, so that as we roll out throughout the country, some of the weaknesses should not be repeated. The poverty eradication program, we are still pursuing that program, and that program varies once more, honorable members. In some, we find ourselves having been appointed as implementing agents, and some of them are the self-initiated ones through the IDC program. We think we have been responsive to local government. We have got a program that we refer to as the local area plan. And we think when we have tested this program, it has been well. And therefore, we think that directly reports also to the turnaround strategy that the Minister of Local Government has been talking to. Building cohesive and sustainable communities. We also think this is a very critical element because it is very important that we should be able to build sustainable communities that is for the relevant capacities that relate to the areas in which we work and as well as the opportunities that come from this area. Building assets of improved health and education. And honorable members, this refers to the school, the clinic, we've now entered into the court. We're also constructing courts, the multi-purpose center. So it refers to those assets that we are currently constructing. Let me also say, honorable members, that for us, social infrastructure becomes a conduit for reaching communities and for the creation of the job, so that we don't just go and train people in those communities, but there are also projects in which we can attach them. We only give an example that we believe that when we construct a school, there has to be a maintenance of that particular community, and therefore, we must leave a plumber in that community. We must leave an electrician in that. We must leave the painter. We need to be able to organize those painters so that there are other more employable of our projects, or they should be able to get jobs for themselves. And that is just not job opportunities, honorable members, but we're now talking about sustainable jobs that we are needing in those communities. The outcome on the strategic objective is a reduction of vulnerability of poor communities, increasing of community access, and increasing access to resources. Another example that I could use here, as we are doing our development week in Uganda, the example there is that we constructed the multi-purpose center in that area, which we call two multi-purpose centers. We started with those projects in 2006, honorable members, and when we went back, we realized that actually there's no full utilization of the infrastructure that we had put in there. We then thought we should take our dialogue back into those areas. We need to begin to move from rhetoric to practice. How do we begin to make sure that the infrastructure in the rural areas is fully occupied and it is able to service those people? In those multi-purpose centers, you will find services like home affairs, social development, economic development, and as well as information centers. And one of the things that we were aiming at doing in taking it to that particular area is also to revise the economic viability of those centers. On strategic objectives, two honorable members is to pioneer innovative development solutions. And the purpose is the creation of knowledge-based models for people just as concerned with the development, this is grounded in the capital delivery of progress. Our measurable objective is effective delivery of social infrastructure, which simultaneously achieves development outcomes. The key priority area, again, is rural development, creation of decent work, a developmental space, including an improvement in the public service. I think this is a very important point, as you remember, because in most instances, there are a number of institutions in the rural areas, but quite often, you find that the issue of capacity is a major stumbling block on their own development, and therefore, making sure that the public service within that structure is also capacitated becomes our focus area. I can make an example, honorable members, I'm sure you are aware of the incentive scheme of the EPWP. One of the problems there in terms of why most municipalities and other structures are unable to claim that incentive is because of capacity. Because unfortunately, you need to be able to have the capacity to plan and initiate those projects before you can be able to claim. So it becomes a vicious cycle, because unless you start at that level, you'll find that we're unable to claim from those incentives. The expected outcome from our members is tested with applicable models of sustainable rural development that are documented and disseminated. I've spoken already on the LAP, which is the local area plan. It's a planning methodology that begins to include people in discussing the IDPs and the priorities of their own development in those areas. And that is a documented model that we think we can be able to replicate. And anyone can be able to take and use whatever it is we want to use it. Contributing new knowledge to the body of development practice. This development week that we are referring to, there will be a lot of development experts, development practitioners that will be interacting with just to share the models and see what it is that we can gain from each other. Innovative delivery of transformative development programs impacting on people's lives. Right now, we are beginning to look into a prototype school, which is a development and innovation to say how do we begin to improve our schools so that they are also energy efficient. And we're currently finalizing a project of a prototype school that we are hoping that as we discuss with the Department of Education, possibly that is how our schools in the future will be looking in South Africa. Effective and integrated public sector delivery of support. And again, we work very closely with departments, and where departments feel that they need some level of capacity, we're able to interact with those public servants. We believe, therefore, that we don't want to be extra hands to government, but we should be able to give value to government and add value on what they want us to work with them on. Strategic objective 3 is to ensure excellence in service delivery, and the purpose is to ensure the relevance and sustainability of the IDP. The measurable objective is the financial sustainability of the IDP. The IDP is efficient and effective, and of course, the risk management is compliant. Maybe just to talk a bit on the efficiency of the IDP. We think that through the systems that we've been able to develop, right now, our current expenditure, our targeted expenditure is about 1.3 billion rand. And we think the systems that we have and the capacity that we have within the IDP is capable of managing between 2 to 4 billion rand worth of progress. And we think that on its own is value that government can be able to test for. The expected outcome is that the IDP is relevant, sustainable, and efficient in delivering this message. And that implies the systems that have already spoken to other governments. The key content issues that can put it in the government structure. We do clarify the roles from the executive authority through to management. And the shareholder contract was signed by the Minister and the Board Secretary on the 8th of March, as we've indicated. We've also included in the corporate plan the cities of Transparency and Expo, and the high level organizational structure are referenced in this section. We have both our financial plan, which my CFO is going to be presenting, honorable members. The materiality and significance framework have spoken to us. The risk management plan, the fraud prevention plan, and other supportive plans, and like the human resources, communication, and the environmental plan. In terms of the budget, honorable members, I'm going to request my CFO to be here by 2 o'clock.
Thank you, Theo. I think there's a tendency to be important to say that the budget understanding the corporate plan in terms of the carbon neutral, but budget which has been compiled only on the other hand, the cost of business terms and what we want to roll out. That has been necessitated through a historic event, and that was the IDC has been applying its capital base towards poverty eradication, always indicated that when it comes to a 3-year window period where we will be running other funding, we will actually engage national treasury through the non-MPF process in order to secure future funding for the organization. We have actually done that last year in the 2010-12 MPF process, and that process has derived any benefit financially from the allocations emanating from. There were no allocations made for IDC for the ensuing 3 years. Now, that in essence immediately put a lot of pressure on the board and management to respond from an accountability perspective in terms of taking appropriate steps and not being seen as being reckless traders, notwithstanding the financial. I think that may hopefully create the framework within which the new budget has to be considered from a short-term perspective. The intent was mainly to protect the IDC as a going concern in the financial year 2011-2012. From our initial projection up to last year, we did indicate that that would be the first year where we would have a budget funding shortfall. Now, going into 2010-11, we could not afford to do that and afford the closure of the organization. And therefore, we responded by doing a number of things. One of the most significant being introducing a budget ceiling on the expenditure side of 350 million rand only. Now, that chairperson, in essence, has put a direct constraint on our delivery capacity within all the units operated by the to also give the committee assurance the budget ceiling is not something that is pulled out of the air. That cost development was supported by a cost-saving strategy which we immediately implemented to ensure that those limited expenditure will materialize in the coming financial year. The shift in terms of accountability challenge that we confirmed to the committee, the strategic focus remains the absolute priority. In other words, what we said was we're not doing any U-turns or anything quick. We will remain with the strategic focus and intent of the organization, and we will align our financial capacity in order to retain the momentum as far as possible. The second point, the material expenditure level, here in your course, I think that has already been said. What we also did, Chairperson, in support of the strategic process to community service intervention, we also ring-fenced a measurement amount of 52 million to support that those interventions and to ensure that we maintain the momentum in terms of the community service initiative. Chair, also important to note in terms of the challenges is the revenue generating capacity of the IDC cannot cover our expenditure in the short term due to a number of constraints. Firstly, the size of our capital base. Secondly, the challenges in meeting our objectives. Thirdly, the prevailing interest rates, because we now really in the impact period where our investors are mainly focused in money market instruments, and that is probably a challenge. Chair, just to summarize the main features of the budget on a year-to-year basis, our expenditure, as I said, was capped at 350 million. To put it into perspective, that from the current year in the reduction of 33 million to 9%. If we consider the salary increase mandate, which is the treasury of 5.6%, together with projected inflation at 6%, that will give us a buying power or a real reduction in terms of our operations. That is quite significant on an operations basis year on year. Here, what we've also done on the revenue side is to look at how we can increase our independent revenue generation capacity as far as possible. Unfortunately, the investment income, as I've indicated, will reduce by at least 33%. That is because of the capital that is applied here, operational services, as well as the low prevailing interest rate that is at the moment. On the positive side, our management fees that we're collecting is sitting at 40 million, which is an increase of 6% year on year. It sounds very significant, but I think if you look at total revenue in terms of context, and compare that to the expenditure side, it is quite
is really the cost for us of doing our business. our projects are mainly rural based, and therefore our staff need to have a connected project to enable us to supervise those projects and to deliver their funds. Second, moving on to the guidelines that we use in the outer years, I think we've been trying to indicate here that we've taken a very conservative approach on it. The salary increases of IDPE is aligned to the treasury perspective in terms of what we made in terms of installation. The contract that we've entered into, we are using the actual percentages in terms of legally enforceable installation in those contracts. For all other services not covered by contracts, we use the percentages of 60% our community mandated poverty eradication program are maintained during the full period, and what we have done is we've escalated our management fees as far as possible. I actually need to raise a concern of the ability to really achieve those targets. We feel that we challenge to such an extent that it's unavoidable at this point in time to really the table indicating the main streams of revenue and expenditure for the organization. I think it is clear from the table that Jefferson, especially if we look at the year 2011-12, the cost reduction interventions that we have put in place have turned around that financial year in order that we will still have a surplus of the main fund at the end of that year. However, I think the word of caution, 12.5 million surplus at the end of the financial year is a very, very thin margin, and if anything goes wrong, it might just not make it. So it is something that we would like to address further and make sure that we can build in some cushion. Chair, however, in 2012-13, you will note there that the deficit will run up to 261 million, which we cannot cover. If, regardless what we do in terms of our own revenue generating capacity, because of the constraints sitting in that program, it will not be possible to cover that regardless of what we do. And that is why we need to certainly secure treasury funding for the outer year. Chairperson, a few concluding remarks. The total budget we need to really protect our mission of the budget as well. It is also clear that the allocation from the state of the listing perspective cannot be afforded for the full 3-year MPA period. We have limited capacity to significantly impact on our revenue generating capacity in the short term, and therefore it leaves us with very little option but to significantly restructure the organization to meet the sustainability challenges in the long term. Represent that in a nutshell is really the vision and the dream.
Health, in the world, social interaction, and member who would find a bid to of the cooperative plan, our summarized business plan. In terms of the program delivered, which has been outlined for the MT 2011 to 2013, it's been outlined there that we plan to deliver or manage a program of 2 billion in the financial year 2010-2011. And to deliver program expenditure of 1.6 in that year. We have also planned to spend 960 million on direct economic enterprise, power enterprise, which is 60% of our program expenditure delivered, to spend about 400 million on women owned enterprise across the spectrum. This includes both women contractors as well as architects. Spend about 200 million on youth-owned enterprises, which is about 15% of our program expenditure, and we spend about 384 on labor, which represents about 24% of our program spend. We've also planned to create out of our what we call public management program. We use that term to refer to the programs we manage in support of. We plan to create up to 5,000 jobs as we program. I just cut up because it links to the response I'm going to provide on the last week. I'm building a context for that. And you also note on that page that we plan to create about 24,000 BWP jobs. We have got partnerships with energy to Department of Public Works, where we are the implementation of the non-state sector component of the BWP program and the target. We also plan to train 14,700 community members.
At the time, our board approved
have any model policy going on to support that initiative. In fact, to start the initiative, at the time, the government are not ready to finance the initiative. Later, government are veiled over an MTM period, attending on GOT 11, an amount of 2.7 billion in order to assist that program. The report on page 14 of the presentation, on page 14 of the report, basically provides a snapshot update on the 150 million that the IEC provided. Of that 150 million, we have built 20 schools as well as 20 operation facilities. And we've outlined the progress of where those schools are. And you see that many of them are in the state of Mpumalanga and followed by the North West. All of those schools are finished, except one in the Western Cape, which we're building in partnership with the Department of Education, where they are providing the bulk of the funding. There were delays with regards to that school due to funding challenges from the with regard to the BIGA program that was funded by the National Service, we've been able to provide support to four provinces, the Eastern Cape, the Cape again, the Northwest, and the Malawi. And currently, we are assisting them to do a program of around 7 million specifically in to the program of additional funds. Of the 2 billion portfolio of programs that we support coming on, around 60% is constituted by schools. So one could say that in the eradication of the mass school infrastructure, we are at any given year managing around 1.2 billion for each child. The backlog of school, we believe, will be with us for a while. If one noted the percent support by the Eastern Cape, that the new resources in the White House of 25 is not enough to eradicate the backlog in the Eastern Cape. So it's a matter that we know that the government is prioritizing, but from the resource point of view, we think that we still hope to do a lot in order to eradicate the backlog. There was also a matter that raised surfacing with regard to the cement. The surfacing, you remember that about 3 to 4 years ago, take about 3 years ago, there was a serious hype about South Africa running short of cement due to the capital work in relation to 2010 as well as due to the increased infrastructure spend by government. This resulted in some claims that there were opportunities in the market, and unfortunately, some largely SMMP, previously from previous business managers to respond to that, which unfortunately was shortly in the sense that, if I were to call it, the cartel moved to speed to close that. In other words, they upped the production capacity to close that. Many of the SMMEs that pursued that opportunity in had a bad experience, and they lost financially significantly because some were threatening to get the SMMEs out of themselves. There was also a claim about a cartel within the industry committing to manipulate pricing, and I think in the, especially last year, we were seeing the Port of Portland cement. And acknowledge that these such attempts were made. And I think this is a matter that is being directed by the Competition Commission. So it is still a matter that is being addressed. But generally speaking, our assessment at the time was that the shortage that the country wanted to face was quickly rectified through the industry public production. I think, Chairperson, I want to add there, Chairman, I have not raised anything with the country of production.
Honourable members, to conclude our presentation and say that the IDC really appreciates the guidance of the committee of the World Bank Review, particularly because we are fully aware that the committee has constituent offices for the country and therefore interacts directly with the communities that we represent. And we would welcome some guidance if there is any in those areas We are also, honourable members, availing the IDC's regional offices and projects to support the committee's oversight role. As we said last time, we really appreciate if the committee can also visit the areas where we work, so that it is not just what we present here, but the committee can begin to experience the work of the IDC and on the ground. The IDC also requires request the committee's support in addressing provincial budget deficits, which impact profoundly on the aging contractors, and the process of concerning the IDC's future role in the development landscape and the funding framework. Maybe just to emphasize one element, Honourable Member, on the delay in the transferring of funds, is that it does affect our contractors. To some extent, to a great extent, it almost conflicts on the gate the effort that we are making towards building the small, medium enterprises, particularly in the sector of construction. And we are just urging members to assist us in interacting with provinces and highlighting the negatives that come with this delay in transfer of funds. Thank you, Honourable Members. I think my chairperson will close the discussion.
No, thank you very much. You can see that the members are looking and following very closely. Just to clarify things before we go myself, the issue of those members making to the dead block that we can take and help for us. What's the memory of the school of the country? We had the oversight association where the officials of the department were sent and after the customer, how much are the school of the kind of regular average of 1 million. It sounded very mistake. We could not understand how we arrived at the chief. We asked them to send us a breakdown, haven't yet seen that, and so on, in terms of how we arrive at that. So that's really dramatic. So the backlog that we are talking about and the millions that we are saying we need to do that. We just want to check the impact. In your own experience, what has been the effort in terms of the draft? Are we unreasonable to believe that this plan is solid? And you raise the question of management fees that you are increasing. But if you don't indicate to us that you are coming up, would it be like Elcom increases? So I was wondering why you're so shy. So basically, just say, tell us. How much you can do it. You can try to make it clear. I think it's not the same view, but what is it? If you can just answer those, I think it will help each member to engage on the issues.
Thank you, Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, to build a school of 1,000 men. In our calculation, it costs around 1,000. Yesterday, we had a meeting with the Department of Education, and we were discussing the challenge that you were outlining, that in fact, this, you could find the same size school in the same area built for 40 years. In several instances, even close to 2 times. And this does not only happen on the school, but we also have this on the tender and then we eliminated that there's a growing trend of a wide variation between societies that are coming in. This was not the case 3 years or so ago. So it's almost like a trend where which we believe is somewhat linked to expression in one way or another. The Department of Education, with our collaboration, are working on cost systems, which would be used by the department. Already they have put together for school infrastructure, but we're coming together in collaboration to work on non-to manage the variation of costs. You could also get up to about 3,000 to 4,000 rand, and it's just so that you only have to calculate it down and work out what the cost is. For example, if you have a classroom of about, let's say, 70, 7 or 8.
Let's just take something you like one. You don't have to, more or less, I'm giving the sense that the, you know, the price that you get in the world, you don't have to help here, but you can give us more or less a breakdown of your own experience. You can send it to us. So for this classroom, the so many classroom, or all the vision blocks, the project blocks that go so that at least we have some form of. You can compare it with what you've got, what you're doing, and what is this cost standardization that the department is doing. Because we've got a great interest in that. We're not going to come in and speak to that.
We will send that.
And let me thank you for the cooperation.
There's a matter you raised about the management.
Yes.
Our business model has evolved over the years. I'm just going to be the right context.
You can't do that. What depends? What depends?
The person will be looking at 10% of the value of the program.
What have you been? So, anyway, you say you increase my 10%?
No. We're looking at 10%. Our part was that we were charging that.
Oh,
for the service that we're looking at. But in the last 2 years, we began to do it with a nominal percentage between 2 to 4%, which was a nominal percentage. And there's been an outcry from that subject that we're disrupting the size of the protocol. For government departments, we receive also the process for proof of management.
The first one is
is about self funding used by the administrative project. Do you agree with
it? And you think you left it to prove the funding? Because if you're building, you can't keep them needing less investment. And at the same time, you don't see that you are building and feeding them. It's like building and demolishing the building and the same time. We had experience in our business. We work with this person and kind of say, what type of internet is coming? We want to destroy more type of building and food because all the time in our country, we say the mother has money. I mean, if you have money and brother, because if there's money in the debt, even if you pay it after 1 or 2 years, I'm sure they can afford to pay. But this advisory is from hand to mouth. And if you don't pay immediately, simply just that, which is workers, if you hard work with the bossing and they promise to pay when they just pay, and really if you don't pay. So what I suggest is maybe from the second few to get and I'm sure this is just a tremendous problem. And, or like myself, I'm from housing microsystems where you've got a problem there, like you have your crisis, problem to you from the ministry. But I think that's better to all my. The question now, what is the actual fiscal budget of ICT? I didn't hear that come through. And then I don't know if it is now meaning that future, you gave a breakdown. 60% is for black empowerment. I think it's a project of young women, 60% youth. I mean, then you say you emphasize rural areas. How much of the 60% for black empowerment goes to the rural areas? You can see the future, you can also be progress so that you have a sense how you process the children. But I really would just like to know how much is your fiscal budget and out of that budget, how much you self-generated, how much is budget.
Thank you, Bobby. Let's take a second for me and we can see.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, firstly, I would like to thank the presentation made today. But now coming back to what Member Deni Kekani is asking about the non-transfer of funds by the department, in your view, I would like to know exactly what causes the delays of the transfer of funds by the department to you. What explanation do they give you? What is the delay exactly? Can you get the clarity? My other question, Chairperson, is on the immediate strategic focus, the key initiatives. It is said that they now increase the targeted vulnerable groups. Do they also include the children, youth, and the aged in these vulnerable groups? Because when I'm listening, I'm only hearing women. Then about these math schools, Chairperson, you know, I see that province like Eastern Cape, they built 5 schools, but when I look at the province itself, it's a rural province, and some of the areas, those schools are not accessible enough to the school children. Is IDT considering the access part of it? Because the school can be built, but kids cannot arrive at that school because of the roads, which are badly, you know, structured. Also, if I can get a clarity on this Free State sanitation project, which are 10, if they also they can just make a breakdown to us when they say 10 projects, how many toilets are being built, maybe water, drainage, and so forth. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, my colleague will handle the budget one, and I will handle the cause of delay in other stuff. certainly there has been a growing trend, very unfortunate trend, of our government departments and running the department. We have seen this in Mpumalanga Public Works, we've seen it in the SMP Department of Education, in Northwest Public Works, in the case of any house, and so on. And these are the departments we work. These are the departments we support in running our social infrastructure programs. And so when they run into other difficulties, it affects the entire village. They become unable to transfer program funds to us. We become unable to meet our commitment to the third lead to the serious detriment of some of the service programs. And my CEO spoke earlier on about the service provider in the NK who was on the news, who went to close the school in process of unpayment, which was one of the examples of an unpaid service program as a result of the The unfortunate thing is, so far, beginning, the trend is on the increase of this unfortunate development. With regard to vulnerable group terms, the nature of our work is largely infrastructure alone. And within that environment, we are able to target empowerment of women, we are able to target empowerment of youth, we minimally are able to target empowerment of people. We have not been able, given the nature of our program, to target children. We have a target of 2% involvement with regard to the people. We have been struggling, I must say, even with that target, given the nature of our program. But we've been doing this as well with regard to the sentiment. Access roads, Chesterfield, in many of our programs, we work closely with the we provide government support services largely to government departments in the rollout of the social infrastructure. As we plan the social infrastructure with the communities and the local municipalities, as well as the departments, we look at issues of access roads. And often, we spearhead that those issues be included in the integrated development plan of local government. The delivery date, though, is never guaranteed because it depends on the availability of resources in the relevant local municipalities. In the Free State, many of the schools we supported, particularly out of the 150 million provided by the IET, actually said there was a trend in that province where they were closing schools. And therefore, they had less of the immunity of schools. But in many of their schools, we have provision facilities in a very respect. So they actually asked that we support them through investment in a provision facility. We funded about 20 in terms of my colleague will talk more about the future. But maybe the perspective that I was suggesting, we've got two budgets. We've got the overhead budget, which my colleague spoke about earlier on, which is a total of 350 million. And I think they already provided the breakdown of that. Then we've got what we call the program budget, which is what we assist government in delivering. This is the one that we plan to spend about 1.6 billion in the financial year and April, March 2011. It is out of that 6 billion where we direct our program to spend 60% on the labor policy, 25% on women, 24% on labor, 15% on youth, which are the figures in our national interest.
I want to comment on the impact on children and other members in household. What my colleague referred to would be the dialect beneficiaries which we can put down on our corporate plan. But you will see in our annual report, what we also do when we go into spaces like that, we will do baseline studies. We will at the end compare that baseline information with fact of Africa information, for example, on average household size, on average class size. And therefore we will say indirectly what we have delivered in terms of the number of classrooms affords X number of learners an environment for decent education, where decent education can take place. But what we also say in our development model is that we don't only leave schools, but we make sure that it's a functional school. I remember some people going to visit some of the schools that we had built and where that model has gone through the hill. But the other level of intervention, the 52 million that my colleague Tom spoke about, you'll see in our corporate plan, we say we will initiate 9 community-based sustainable development programs. And we say as an indicator that that has been done, we're not saying it's going to be done in 1 year because we are very realistic about what is possible at community level. But at the end of 1 year, we would have done a full-scale community assessment and a plan together with a vision that is endorsed by that community, and it would have been approved not just by government but by a functional community structure. And our view is, if we are serious about eradicating chronic poverty in the spaces where it happens, it is that information that will determine what the interventions are that will impact on everybody who lives in that particular space. So very excited about what will happen in those spaces, but we cannot predetermine.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. I think my colleague has covered the different budgets and the women that have spent for ages. Yeah, I think what we should emphasize maybe at this point in time is that those are our corporate targets. I think when we come back to the committee in the next month or two, we will actually be reporting on what the actual achievements against those targets have been in terms of how we will be spending that 1.55 or 1.6 billion that we actually targeted. Here, there was also a question in terms of what the breakdown per province in terms of the spending is. Unfortunately, I don't have the detailed composition per province, but I think it's fair to say that the lion's share of all in provincial spheres are sitting in Eastern Cape and KZN at the moment. We have very, very small program exposure in Western Cape, Northern Cape and Free Cape. The remaining provinces are really the middle class in terms of the value of turnover that Eastern Cape and KZN must be covering at least 80% plus of the
but maybe you can provide us with that total breakdown so that we have more information. Also in terms of your program, project in this case. Maybe we have one in terms of what is I thought that you would have finalized those types of things. It seems that it's true. If you can just have an indication of the enormity of the problem. Because of the project of the program, I think that would be crucial. Congressman Gama is not here. He has always known that he supported the
three-state model case measure of population decomposition. And we correctly say that that is part of the problem of planning for the culture, particularly the budget. I'm going to recover that to you some time ago. But just one aspect. You see, we had a budget system. That's why I asked us to understand some of how we compare to give different by things that are happening on the ground that we have to get. Your Moesha lessons, for instance, we can also share it with us so that we're able to appreciate the problem. We visited an area called and it's a rural place, and most of the people in the eastern Cape, some of them live in mechanism, so we need to get lost. That's why we see that. Where there is basically, I don't even want to say up to because the smile of people have the rumor there, telling you that they accepted our position. Next to the Kaya River, on the side of course, far from a child's time, no one can they didn't go from the capital. The school is far away. You see that context where you were asked. You also participated at the school. Because when it rains, no transport, they can't go to clinic, the school is in the school is far. So they got to navigate their way around the hill and say, the point is. So those are the issues that are happening. You know, I actually said to my colleague here with the honorable we wanted to share some of the notes we see also in the context. So that as you scan areas that you are very good that are not saying now, what the Minister of Rural Development, so we know it's quite aware of it. And I'm just raising it as a matter that, you know, needs to be accepted. So having said that, I didn't see any other hand.
I hope that you will be able to do it.
and you could have just used one screw. In other words, if you were picking out the passage and you were staying focused, you would have avoided understanding the kind of structure. It is yet to the same with this as the same. But you could have just used one screw and take nine to another group. Then, let's go to the night class today. I've been there for some time. Are you aware that there's a particular part that is for the night class? And let's get the image of identity, because the context of the sign is identity. So basically, if I sign a contract and claim it, you are claiming it. You are lying to the human. I'm not concerned about the third party, which is the case of the identity. Yes, you are not using, but the contract is being identified. So, if you were really saying, because if you were really bad, let us be fair, let us be faithful. Those funds are not being sent for contract. They are then used for something else. And let us what we accept the service provider, which is contracted, and even the emerging consultant, I think I contacted regarding emerging consultant to 1-2-4, who cannot even be the service. So basically then, on the one side, it accepts the contractor there, which is why they are being great one. They'll never move from the one. Because of nothing. So by now, you should have, it's been there for years, and there are a lot of people in time because of stress. So what sense do we have to address this problem? Because this is a major problem. Why our new people cannot cross their main grade 1, grade 2?
For 1,000 children, another one is for 8 million, for 1,000 children,
is a standard kind of thing. They say, according to our standards, there's a regularity of 27 or 30. We can't allow that to pass this way. I'm just saying, the one that we saw was quite a large value of food. You need to take your food to consider it for about out of state, because it's great. It's a good because the houses, they are not simple village houses, ordinary simple village houses. You can detect poverty. But when you see that value of food, you can't consider what a good word is, you don't understand it. The good one is going to be very important. So, I just wanted to say, please, if you can give me this thing of where you tell me it's so easy. Because when you reported the project that you don't see anything, and you know that I completed a lot of reports that come here, I can tell you right now, one of the first people who come in. I'm just saying, please, correct the people to the abnormal situation. The second point, we just want to make a point of the issue of transport funds. That is really one thing to identify. You see, we're in a statistic. To be honest, we as government, we shouldn't make our problem the community's problem or business people's problem. It's like if you're waiting. If you're not, to be honest, all of us at the end of the month, we don't expect our department to only have our salary. So I'm just saying, to be honest, all of us don't want end of the month to be closed. Is that what our salary is to be in our house? So this thing of existing and we need to be a difference. Because once it's given to you and talk that a contract, and it must be able to see the plenty of tax and that delivered, they must be to end of the month. Because remember, we are working both our children and wives, and over our 40. Next thing is clothing. And our mama might be not even tired of it. So we put it on our own community to be very difficult to come in. The way we do things is like we don't have other things for personal. And that's what I'm saying. Personally, my constituency is different from what I'm saying. And I'm saying I'm trying to share away constituency to take our lead because we like it so fast. First of all, like a few ministers to meet us, and we didn't raise it up for cash, because it's kind of something like that. If there's a deficit, they might find money somewhere. Because that is our own problem, that's not a contract for the person who can. So we shouldn't make our problem their problem. But I'm saying we like to join for the Christian person. So last year, you know when we got children taken up from us, the last thing is, we really want to once more congratulate you. Yeah, it seems that you may start to know generally if you are very interested in people's business. It isn't that for the last part of the year.
No.
You deserve to congratulate you.
No, thank you very much. I shall take the don't you take it? No, the CIDP is waiting ready to press buttons here. So you must finish with IDP first and come.
Thank you. Chavez, with regard to empowerment of contractors, yes, we have a very effective contractor empowerment program which we finance the IDQ. Which we provide training and mentorship, particularly the emerging contractors. We've gone into a partnership with the NEF, where they come in and provide working capital funding to the same contractors that we train, and we come in and provide the opportunity in the form of a contract with Dr. mentorship and training. And we started a year ago in terms of the program. Over and above that, we've got a small initiative with a targeted agreement contract. We realize that to deliver this target of 25% program allocated to women, it was not happening. Hence, we instituted a program with targets currently in the next financial year. We're talking about 5 women contracts to be standard and to be to support them and to provide them the contract. So we're doing a lot more in that space. With regards to who would decide where the school will be built, this happens is unfortunately a well-guarded state, now speaking by us. You would know Jefferson has also got a provision of resources, whether in the form of the school, so often government department can't start things. Generally speaking, the current arrangement is that the Department of Education has jurisdiction to decide where the school must be built, where, when, and how. Even in building the approval of the actual plan for the school. Even issues of appropriate whether this infrastructure fits this location often becomes a political matter. Well, certain constituencies would argue that why you build a school in Central or a faith place and build a school in our community or a normal place. But it's a space we have very little influence on because the Department of Education deals with that in good manner. The question of the school prices, it's less of a problem directly for us as IT. It's more of a country problem. In our interaction with the embassies of public works and MINMEC, this is the issue that they raised to us. And with an accompanying statement that they need us to help them to manage the problem. Hence, the reported meeting with the Department of Education to collaborate, to come up with standards. So that if we advertise the school, we can say the expected price of the school is 20 million. If a contractor charges 60 million or whatever else we want to do, we are able to think of others that we can see that it's done. This is the initiative which was supporting it. In fact, the Department of Education is leading that initiative and collaborating with them to take it forward. We do have within our environment our own standards that help to put some of the typical example is that we advertise for the courtroom building for justice in Bulugwana, and the earthwork has come up at about 54 million in that size. Now we're doing a court of a similar size in Limpopo, sorry, in Mpumalanga. And we then advertise a quarter of quite a similar amount of work in terms of that work. And you know, some of the costs were coming at 95 million, but we were able to say something is wrong. It can't be, because it was standard that we used to say this is not off. But generally speaking, we as a government entity, we often are in a better position from a capacity point of view than government departments, which is unfortunate for government departments who often are able to manage this at the point of time. But it's a matter which we believe moving forward in the Ministry of Education should address. The last matter, which is a very important matter, is the matter of the non-payment provider. In the life of the IDT, I think there are very few, if any, board meetings where this matter is not addressed. In our engagement with the minister, with our executive authority, as well as government in general, 95% of engagement, this matter is part of the agenda.
it's a matter which is very difficult to resolve once and for all. The latest attempt by us, Chapter, is to engage Treasury. We are asking Treasury to intervene in some of these instances by directly availing resources to us so that we can meet the needs. Over and above that, we have placed a request to them to issue a practice note which would empower government departments to transfer money to us so that we've got security of having the resources as we contract. There has been an unfortunate incident or trend in the last 3 years of the auditors in the raising the query when government departments transfer money in advance for programs in implementing entities. That has resulted in a change of attitude within the government environment where they would want you to do the work for you to then package the invoices, give them. Now, if that even fits the normal target of payment in digital, it would take 2 months for the disposal of the payment. Now, remember that there would have been some another 20 days or so between the consultant to deliver the invoice forwarding it to us. I'm tracing it from the date the contractor finalized the invoice with the contractor. This has been a very, very unfortunate incident resulting in the time where government departments could not transfer money to them. We're hoping that our engagement with Treasury will at least alleviate this matter. It will not resolve, because even though they may make their funds themselves, if they run out of budget, it will even affect their funds. We think it's a government matter facing the entire government nationally, and we think all of us, part of this government nationally, need to raise our voices up and do what we can do for them. Thank you. All those are costs where we would endeavor from a developmental point of view not to constrain the service providers that you get. But these are some of the incidents that we have related to the experience. I want to agree with my colleague that even if we can change the process of making advance, it might not necessarily resolve the problem completely. But we would also accept guidance from the committee to say how can this better be in a position to resolve this issue. It is a very painful issue that we have to be made almost every day.
They don't talk to CTE, which is when you talk with respect to the variation of prices and so on. It would come when I cost in the region, the other one cost would come in the region. Now, the CTE, which deals with the Japan people and so on, is able to say, how to balance that thing, which is my view would be
The question of your recapitalization was, right? We are aware that it happened within government discussion. We monitor the process and so on. You're telling us that you still have the capacity. For now, you are just telling you can have the capacity for the first time for projects of 1.6 billion or 1.3 billion. But your capacity that you have, you are 4 billion, 3 to 4 billion. We can't have that capacity that we have. What to find a way of taking the capacity without, I can't promise you money from here, but I'm sure the method that I'm saying is a record, and this portfolio for the human side is a way to do it. The support for local government is so, as you say, the report from local government of problems that we have is a method that is a point to unite and to come back to, and make the cut so that we find some common ground. What I'm not sure about is the PIA that you signed the Minister of Youth. You don't have to report out information that you might want to share with you going forward.
and your experience is not more. That's what you have changed. One thing that I'm worried about is the lack of capacity by global system, despite it in particular, to spend the incentive card keeping up. There's a matter that I think that we should find some way of doing it, help us through that. Because I don't think it's a matter that we can't be able to hope to do it. We said to you, Joe Fleener, the Department of Public Works needs help. In your program in terms of holding capacity with the government, your mother body is there, the body. Give her the impression that they are in trouble. I'm just saying, it was you so that if I'm asked one day when I'm in heaven, what good thing did you do? I'll say no, I've referred the IDP to public work to go and help. You see, so I'm ready to see the context. And what says there is no allocation, we understand it and what you said about it, and the repercussion of the problem. You see, let me leave that there. Last people, we share all the context. We talked to the minister about it, but we also want to discuss the content. All I'm saying was all this. We want a proper landscape that you are able to be able to be part of your party in your 2030 program and vision status. So we want to take all these building blocks to see how they what continue. And also the question that Honorable Gallo said, if you are part of building schools, train facilities, and so on, and people's waste space, you don't want your image to be tainted. You must put it to those things very carefully. So that you don't not see just your Russian to be running, going for the money while you can see that this is where you come. You must just be aware of it. I don't know if there are any questions enough before I say it. But this is about your community and yeah.
Thank you. Starting with the late great experiment and mandate, we were established by an ESO parameter FAA 2000, which basically deals with the mandate of giving to PIT as follows, and we'd like to provide it to two pillars to work with clarity. The first pillar deals with the Korean authority leadership of PIT to the particular community. That is the development pillar. The second pillar is the regulatory function of the PIT to regulate the social media. This slide actually talks to the fact that we are both a referee and a player. And at some stage, as well as talking about the next slide, we need to start thinking about these functions and see how best we can actually publish them to better problems. The dual responsibility of the PMD is that of, as I said, particular being an enabler or a developer, which has happened since conception. The other one is the regulator, yes, it happened since conception, but there is an enforcement of compliance and compliance that prioritized over the last few years. Now, it was very important for these two functions to come from the same table, because we could actually determine when the enabling environment and support to that was supposed to slow down a bit and allow the enforcement of compliance. And later on, we'll actually begin to understand how we're doing that through current investigation and making sure that the conduct is done here with the structure of the system is not performing that. So we're emphasizing the new approach in terms of affecting all public sector clients, including SOE and policy, to actually comply. I'd like to deal with two registers. I've done this before, a few that challenges that we were faced with need to be dealt with in terms of how to be together, how the registers are actually happening. The first one is that the act mandates the CIB to establish and maintain National Register of Contractors, ROC, which facilitates public sector procurement, delivery, and risk management. A very important point, because a lot of people actually forget where we were before the CIB was established, to our type of education, and the support that has come through the team we actually have a set of regulations which are going forward. The second bullet talks to contractor development. The contractor development program, the national framework that the CIB has established, is actually based on that structure. The last one there, which is to promote better performance, we are talking about stage two of the register, which deals with best practice. Again, more details will come in. All these points are actually very important. The register of contractors categorizes contractors in accordance with their activities. We just wish to emphasize that we accept the capability of contractors and give them license to trade. We do not accept their capacity to change on a weekly basis or monthly basis or monthly. That should be conducted by clients themselves each time they award a contract to the contractor. But I think it's important for us to understand when we talk about the register that there are a number of people who complain that the register looks like a pyramid where it's only 39 by 1,000 and work rate. We'd like to emphasize that all over the world where you have structures that they actually shape like that, it's only the emphasis on unemployment is not the other situation. Now looking at the benefits of the race of contractors, and a lot of people actually know the CNC through the race of contractors. It's very important to understand what the benefits are, and then I'll share with you the common advantages that we've spoken about before, specifically how this is actually under pressure. For example, the register is supposed to support risk management from the center. It is supposed to reduce the administrative risk. Let's talk about these two points together. And maybe by way of example, in the Bopo where the CIB started this pilot in 2004, previously the Department of Public Works was advertised tenders for blocks. lots of suction. And one that the doctor of the Qigong knows that if you know anything about the suction, you know that means. After the TLD regulation, you have about 20 Qigong points, and only those that have the correct weight and correct suction. So that's the impact that you have. Instead of assessing and evaluating 200 components, you only evaluate those that actually have the capability to perform. We call the rest of contractors the natural risk management tool because we have done preliminary work in the pre-qualification and designed we have to ensure that they are not exposed to unconscious risk. So we have done the basic work and designed on a project by project basis to check if there is capacity for the contractors. And the register also assists in facilitating sustainable growth and transformation. The system is transparent, everybody knows what is happening, and therefore it assists people who are participating in the industry to know where they stand, where they are to this level, and then move to the next level. It assists especially the emerging sector where TLD actually works. So it's nice for clusters that have capacity to grow with one system for the next sector. Which is really dependent on cost to both the clients and the contractors. Contractors will spend a lot of time and sometimes technicians are responding to tender documents or calls for tender and not getting a project. Now they can actually decide that I will only do projects at my level where I have capability rather than shooting the card or working with the it promotes minimum standards of contractor best practice that is part of phase 2 together with the last week to collect their structural improvement of standards. We don't work with this private sector agency and it's not mandatory for the private sector to appoint only contractors to address the system, but the private sector does approach our contractors. For the first time in Galapica, we have a database that shows the size of solution nation and the office of contractors. Which we didn't have before. We believe that this should actually assist the best clients to identify where the gaps are and where they can actually get it for. Second register is the National Register of Projects. We emphasize that these are national registers. The National Register of Projects was actually implemented in 2004, but immediately there was a relaxation. That relaxation has actually led to slow progress in terms of project control. Contractors were expected to pay a flat fee of 750 rand per project registration. That was then waived if they were using the soft copy instead of hard copy to register their project. And that implementation was successful until the 15th of November 2004. So they're not planned to actually pay what would happen after. The register is very important in the sense that it covers information on the nature of radio information requests. The country should be able to see where development is taking place and based on the project. So the register also assists in terms of providing track records for contractors. In the future, when clients have actually populated this register, we'll actually be able to see what progress is actually being made by each client in contribution to the project. It assists with best practice, in this case, best practice project assessment team, which is part of the two. It promotes the performance of public and private sector clients. When we talk about phase 2, again, you see the comment report that was being developed at the moment and very promising, and that's what we're talking about phase 2. I'm not going to go through the vision and the mission of the CIDB. These are here for information. I'd like to then go into the external context. In terms of this area, we are looking at the first dimension which deals with infrastructure field IQ. And as we know, the infrastructure field in Africa has become a challenge, especially when you look at the public sector. And this affects delivery of infrastructure, which should actually be driven by the public sector. And we find that there are no fields in the public sector. We find that the government ends up deploying 2,000 engineers and contractors and other people. We've added this bullet because in the business plan, for instance, we highlight the government's priority. But we felt that we must actually add it here so that can help with the generation of what we are doing as opposed to what we are doing. The PIP's activities are indirect in terms of influencing the carbon relation carbon. The simple part of the nature of the business that we are involved in. We give a license to say contractors must then go to various government departments and start with the FOE to train. When they finish the project, they must come back to PIP to then qualify for the higher grade with certification. We started with the analysis and are addressing the issue specifically in the way that the PIP can actually achieve. But what is interesting is that what the PIP has already done actually talks to government storage services and government. And therefore, people might expect to see a change of the policy doing what they are achieving in the right now. Focusing on participating, training, and fact-checking contractor development. Although it is not our mandate, the board and management have decided that we need to take ownership to a large extent of the participation of the training and fact-checking of the contractor development. Some of the contractor development is to develop a framework within which clients must we have the IBC here, which is actually a good example of a client that has actually developed a contract development program and working with them in quite a number of provinces to make sure that we make impact to come up. We deal with stakeholder analysis and management. We sit with a lot of stakeholders and we should understand what their needs are so that our review of the registration criteria or review of the standard of the committee conform to what the people are doing. We also have a 5-year review that happens at CIP tried by legislation once every 5 years. We set the first one, the recommendations that you are busy implementing, you may focus on those. In the year or towards the end of the year, 2011, 2012, we should be looking at the second kind of reviewers and so many things that should have proved and then we do it in the country. This development framework that was set by the PIP a long time ago, which decided to sell it very strongly in the construction industry, was it has become very relevant to the problem itself. It has 5 different bubbles looking at requirements, goals, delivery, performance, capacity. Each client must actually look at this development framework and say, in our particular area, we emphasize delivery, but we'll be developing contractors as part of performance. We are not going to forget about performance, we are not going to forget about capability, which CLG assists with, but with them giving projects to contractors, capability of contractors is actually increasing. So it's a very important development framework that CLG is using, and we believe that it could actually help. We have got applications here that deal with the construction industry indicators that CLB conducts every year. This comes from 2009. It's part of the first came on Monday for this distribution to various people at the moment. The interesting thing is that the indicators this time look at clients and contractors, and so we just start with clients. It indicates that the clients were neutral or dissatisfied with the performance of contractors in 18% of the project survey. The second point is that around 12% of the project survey at levels of defect, which are regarded as insufficient. This information becomes important then when we convey to clients and we tell them this is the situation, the basic contractors will tell that this is the situation that we will fix the problem. It's not only contractors that may define as found at fault, we also have contractors that may be found at fault and clients that may have a particular view of how contractors perform. So on this one, we say conductors were neutral or dissatisfied with the terms of tenant of specifications on around 10% of the project. And conductors were neutral or dissatisfied with the management of variation order on 21% of the project. And the last one, which is interesting, IDP actually dealt with it as well. 67% of payments to conductors were made same day or longer after the project. between 2005 and 2008, we saw a deterioration from those clients that paid within 14 days, clients that paid within 30 days. Both streams actually deteriorated to a point where it's now between 30 days and 40 days. And we believe that it is a very inappropriate way of dealing with the collection team. Now, a lot more detail will actually be reflected in the application. We have internal contract operation in both of the clusters. In terms of the cluster that I'm going to show you just now, you'll actually see a picture better to develop more the cluster plan. But let me deal with the specialization of CLB. CLB is a knowledge-based organization, and therefore we need our own staff to specialize, but we from time to time have to use consultants that have years of experience in the field, and they are also being capacitated. In terms of risk management, the CIT board has established a bottom-up committee, a cross-risk committee, to make sure that risk management is now focused in a particular area. In the past, this was actually shared between my office and the office of the CFO. But now we've employed a risk and governance manager who actually assists in terms of how risk management. The issue of business systems, we are moving towards the electronic document management system, which will assist us in terms of reducing corruption. Submission of documents may actually be done in such a way that some contractors have been documents to staff, and documents that actually take to the place, the documents that they have submitted to that place, may then receive a higher pay. This will actually assist us, and by the end of this year, we should have this project up and running. The CRS software upgrade, the CRS is actually a regular software. It was originally designed for up to 100,000 registrations. We have now reached more than 100,000, and therefore it's time to actually upgrade our software so that it can take far more than that, because the registration of contractors has not stopped. It's a big project, which will cost us about 80 million rand at this stage, but it is very flexible. It will not be customized on the basis of this is the graph that I wanted to talk about. We've had the expansion of both of the registers. This costs only two active registrations. Between 2004, when we started with the pilot in the Porto Public Works, to January this year, when we're speaking with more than 100,000 registrations. It is not contractors, but registrations. The contractors can register in more than one class of work that you see in the outline. By the way, this graph actually assists the CRED in terms of trying to understand how many contractors will be joining us. We set an assumption, of course, but also in terms of how much revenue we actually generate. That's a very important point. In terms of the steps from the register, I'm not going to go into too much detail. We will be sending text of consent and understand that the workforce will be sent to the honorable members but we'll actually send them to you every month. We'll be separating grade 1 from the rest of the grade because we believe grade 1 do not actually have the contracting capacity in the country. When we talk about analysis, we analyze mostly grade 2 to 9, so that's where the value is actually taken. Okay. The CRED register contracts us from grade 1 to 9, grade 1 being the entrance level, grade 9 being the top level in the country. The CRED also then rates them in line with their class of work. Classes of work are general, blue, GD, CP, civil engineering, potential engineering, MP, and in terms of electrical engineering, into two, because some will deal with installation of equipment. Together with the equipment itself, the infrastructure, the other one will deal only with the installation and not the infrastructure. What you do with the value and what they actually offer to them. And then we have a whole host of specialist work. So that's what those that are sent. I've highlighted grade 1 just to make sure that you understand that tourist people should talk about the 59, and grade 1 and grade 1 and grade 2. Doing certain things for grade 1, we developed a training program for artisans that is very relevant there. We can take a little part of the training program. When you look at grading by province, we just show the provinces here, and again, grade 1 is highlighted because we would like to take it out of the conducting capacity for grade 2 here. You see that we also have foreign companies there that are registered with us, and they may have various arrangements with local companies that they may want to work with, but that we just give a response to them. Leading the fact that you say is actually KZN with more than 27,000 registrations, followed by Housing, but Housing actually still services for other services, bigger companies especially. The others go down, Northern Cape, for instance, is only just over 1,000 registrations. We also have decided to reflect the actual number of companies that are registered. We are talking about registrations before. We now talk about the actual number of companies. We're sitting with more than 77,000 registered companies as of 29th of December. Again, if you just take away grade 1, you end up with about 10,000. And if you go to the other slide, again, you take away grade 1, you end up with about 10,000. So I estimate that you have between about 10,000 and 12,000 contractors for registration. And if you take away grade 1, it actually shows you that that's where we are. The slide is just to show that we can customize our statistics. Black owned construction companies, women owned construction companies, youth owned construction companies. So clients can actually use the gas that they identify here to see where they can go. What is amazing is that 75% of construction companies concentration is actually 75% owned by black people. It's information that is crucial because once you get into the specialist areas, the number of companies are also go higher to grade 9. The number of in terms of strategic objectives, we are looking at the organizational capacitation, which then informs how our business plan is structured. We're looking at recruitment and retention of critical staff. We're looking at benefits. We've reached a stage now where, as we stabilize our employees in a specific position, we are challenged by government departments and private sector. We want to talk about value-added service delivery. We are ready to talk contractors, especially in the area where a lot of contractors are complaining, but sometimes simply because they do not understand what is required for them. So there are many, many contractors without them coming to the office. When they submit documents, we use them as proof that we can put in the files, but other people prefer to come and tell us if you can see it or someone who is working, someone who can take information that you cannot put in the files, but you are getting people to understand what you mean by financial, what you mean by tax origin, tax care. But it is quite a challenge because we are not equipped to teach them about enterprise development, as opposed to facilitate contractor development. But we are here where we can. Take two of the registers, is another strategy of objective. We need to add value now to the process of construction, because in the past we only allowed contractors to register. Now we need to demonstrate value add by making sure that the track record of contractors and how clients view contractors and that information is actually captured in the field. Procurement reform, every year we look at what adjustments we need to make to standardizing procurement in construction. You may actually know that in the MFMA and the TSMA there are regulations that talk specifically construction procurement, that when it comes to construction procurement, clients must actually use PLD requirements as opposed to general national treasury. We're improving our systems that are indicated to EMS and software rewrite. We are facilitating training and contractor development in a different way since we started engaging with the major contractors when you have established a caste scheme and written with the Department of Public Works, those that are complaining about the stringent rules that apply to registration of CID have actually been brought up to the board that established a board caste scheme to look at how differently we can actually facilitate training and how differently we can fast track contractor development that we can do all along the community. This shows the structure of the CID with the first block at the bottom dealing with the core problems of the CID, the core problems that structure to actually deliver on specific projects and programs. The last block at the bottom again is the CFO. We have managed to stabilize this level for at least 2 years now and maintain the same CID at that level. We've also stabilized the next level of managers who are equivalent to directors. And we are slowly converting fixed-term contracts into permanent positions at lower levels to make sure that we participate our program. I will not deal with these details. They are self-explanatory. It's the same black top and one card based on the block that we've just seen, the second and third and fourth one, the core problem, and then the office of the chief of therapy, as well as the well, proper sensitive that was by the chief functional officer. Just wish to say, when we talk about the budget, you may actually see numbers that the questions like that and why people have been achieved by it. I actually have in my office the communications unit, which will be converted very soon to a marketing communication unit. And that's the unit that deals with communication with all of our stakeholders. I also have in my office the risk and governance manager, and therefore it would actually explain why the budget has actually gone up to in terms of key forecast for 2010-2011, this again has assisted us to formulate the business plan that we have as a business plan. In terms of contractor registration, we want to have continuous improvement of the registration process, which is something that I was talking about. Actually explain or are based on that kind of approach. Regulation amendments, we need to make sure that all the time we amend our regulations to respond to the requirements in the industry. Project registration, this project started slowly, it moves very fast now because we want to use it as a base for our new revenue model. We will be starting with consultation with various clients to make sure that they pay for the value that CID has added as opposed to what was there before. In terms of the flexibility for the registration of each project. What we want to do is to look at the rate of contractors and see what value is added to the client and that's trying to pay for that. Once continue with procurement reform that was talking about already, the rate of professional service providers is the same register that the CLT is working on, which is consulting with specialists in the fluid service providers. Professional service provider. We have decided to have a relook at this register because it was actually exposing us to risk going forward. The Act says we must do it in one way. The stakeholders were actually required in very in a different way, but we felt that we moved ahead with what they were expecting us to do to fight it. So we're looking at amending the Act and making sure that we bring in elements that will form solid data in order to go into the compliance enforcement is being looked at currently. We have forensic investigators that are working with us. We will be going to all provinces to check if clients are actually complying with the CMT requirements. We will be assisted by the Auditor General in this case. We have a number of meetings. The Auditor General is actually checking us. We will also be using special together with our own staff. Our business delivery improvement will continue with the infrastructure delivery improvement program, IDI, where for quite a long time we've been led by National Treasury. We used to have some of the public works there as well, the CDFA and NCID, with four partners. We believe we've made impact in terms of what happens between planning departments and some of the public works in the provinces. This is the problem that has affected us to understand the payment delay in the provinces, and very soon we will actually be giving more information on what happened. National Research Trust on Internet Strategy, we believe this is a very strategic strategy that we can roll out. We're working with the Department of Public Works, which was launched in 2008. Unfortunately, the issue of the project delayed the rollout of the strategy. There is a budget that has been allocated. We are hoping that the effect on April will be able to roll it out. CID is ready with the capacity of the community. Phase 2 of the registers, which will deal with best practice, quality, other safety, and environment. The CID is mandated by the Act to start looking at best practice number recognition scheme, which is for project, and then best practice project assessment team and best practice contractor recognition team, which are actually coming after 12 months from now. They are currently being allocated in terms of various components. This slide seeks to just indicate that it's actually required by our legislation to establish a best practice contractor recognition team, which enables all of us to manage this complex contractor project. So that's the one element that they choose to use it. And the team must also promote contractor development. So through phase 2, we'll actually see improvement in terms of contractor development. How is that going to be done? What CIP has actually established based on what we've been looking at in various countries is that between phase 2 to about 4, we're looking at CIP competent assessment of contractors at that level, the entrance level. After that, when we talk phase 5 to 7, thereabouts, we have developed a CIB accredited management team that was busy piloting at the moment. Therefore, at that level, we want contractors to begin to use the accredited management system. At higher levels, and we're talking here, like 8 to 9, 7 to 9, we're looking at more complicated systems to deal with various issues, supply chain development, management system, but what you see here is that performance reports need to be completed by the representative of clients and sitting with contractors, and should not add a burden on the clients, but this must be done on a daily basis. In terms of best practice project assessment scheme, you will see something similar, but the approach is nicely different, except that the performance report will also be done here. We try to know how the contractors perform on each project, so that information can be captured. If there are red lights, other clients must not use contractors to appraise on projects. The data for information has been prepared already, we've been using for quite some time, we just need to tweak it to actually accommodate the new components that have been added. So various components of these and the previous ones are actually being piloted here in the Western Cape, in the Eastern Cape, as well as what we're going to have, and believe that clients are actually getting the pressure to be very Western Cape. We just want to mention that after a date determined by the Minister, the following will be required to be taken into account for the quality factor functionality. What at the moment is a big gap there. CIB accreditation of the contractor competence or CMS. The second one, information contained in the CIB contractor performance. We believe these are strong pillars to the point where clients could actually implement these before the minister actually becomes a certificate when the business is done. We believe that clients should actually be doing this right now. I know that SAB actually has very good systems and has been working with us. I just want to talk about a few things here. The establishment of the Airtrans Environment Field Development Agency. The CIB was requested by public sector clients and other stakeholders to establish the Airtrans. Normally the Airtrans is established by the PITA in specific sector. The CIB spoke to the PITA. We ended up deciding to do it because the PITA was not interested in the process at that time. Now the PITA is actually interested in going to be working with them to achieve all the results. Not a CIB ESTA, which is an industry ESTA. In terms of funding, we're working with the CISA to see how best it can be funded, but the CIB has already applied to the NSF for funding. The NSF conducted due diligence a few weeks ago. We are waiting for an answer to that. I think it's important to understand why the ESTA. what we think is a shortage of skills in the country. There are people who did their technical diplomas some time ago. They have not done their experiential training because they cannot find jobs where they can do it. The ESSAP seeks to address that issue to make sure that at the national level we have a better base and people will actually be deployed on projects where they will actually gain value as opposed to just waiting for a certain period of time for the work of work. Human resources development within the CRDB, we have a new but now fully fledged ESSAP department that looks at ESSAP development. That's one of our new we want to look at improving. position is. The PIP is another state organization, and that's what from time to time we need specialists who come and work with us for 1 month and then they go. It would not make sense to employ people that have these skills and keep them for a long time in our organization. We need them only to come and help us work together. The administrative expenditure goes from 36 million to 30 million on average for the last 2 years. Capital expenditure has actually come down if you compare to the previous years when we had to expand our office as well as the triple C's that we're establishing around the country. That actually indicated our figures coming down. The capital expenditure will actually stay around 50 million for the first 2 years and then 55.7 in the last 7 years. Professional expenditure then goes from about 28 million to about 29 million. I'd like to just create this link then between this high level budget and I mentioned that we have four core programs at the PID. We then have a corporate shared super services structure, the organization that the show failure, and the chief of office. If we start with the core programs, program one, program four, we display the budget for the year. Start with program one, which is almost in the middle. 22.4 million going up to 24.4 and then 25 million. This is a program that takes care of the provincial offices and therefore we've seen an increase in terms of their budget. We need to employ staff there where we feel there are challenges. We discuss with the department to make sure that the department can then employ people that can then be delegated or deployed within the PIP office. But most of the time, this is actually our staff. The IT environment that must be sustained at all times is coming from PIP. And we don't pay rent for premises because that's the arrangement with departments in the property to actually provide for premises. Problem two, industry performance, that's the one that's going to be running phase two. You can see that as we kick in with phase two now, we build the best practice, the expenditure for that problem is increasing. Procurement and delivery, that is the one that guides science in terms of standardized procurement procedures. Again, they manage the forensic unit that deals also with the disciplinary hearing. You'll see that the budget is actually increasing because we are finding that more and more we need to spend money to deal with this. But we also want to change our tune and not only use the wish, but also use it as part of education for the main sector, because most of the time they are the ones that are promptly on the wrong side of the main. The rate of department starts from 21.6 million up to 24.4 million in the third year. This is the department that deals with education. When we implement the rate of professional service providers, it will actually be hosted here. We have not factored that in the budget because we believe that we still need to finalize our process. Corporate services moving from 29, dropping a bit to 28, and then going back to our station in the third year. The CEO's office coming from 9.5 million and up to 10.7 million. Again, the cost of system in our office. I would refer to our question, the CFO would actually give us more information. I know that you didn't give the cost more than that. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, thank you for your giving. I hope your remarks are basically you thought of us to cover. Well, firstly, it's really to thank you for taking the opportunity for us to come and talk to you and present our plan. And then after you have covered the ground, to present the challenges that we as was stated by our predecessors, so we are also going to but some of the issues that we raised with us last time we took on board as transport contracts, and some of them are to be set. but we welcome your comments. You said that to us, but we're all welcome here, and together we can work it together with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything you want to add, or we will go to the first? How can you let me start with a $1 million question? If you remove them, you start to look. But then what happens? After removing that category, you're left with about 10 pounds. Other than the number of it. And you try to say that it happens all over the place. Not from that, I'm just asking what happens to them with the science of the country. Secondly, the person liking the grade is getting the thing you want to do. What mechanism do you use to control the good motion to your life? You don't know how you have to do it.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I have four questions. The first question you've actually covered me, because I wanted to find out what is the rationale then of taking out grade ones, if that is where bulk of the registered companies are. And I think really we should not go to an extent where we'll be reminded by some pyramids that exist everywhere in the world. We are saying let's try and correct the economic imbalances of the past, and there must be balance. We must strike a balance. The issue of pyramid cannot arise here. Particularly because obviously we are mandated by an act of parliament to support contractor development, and therefore that issue of pyramid that exists everywhere just cannot arise. That's one, Chair. But also that takes me to my second question of the grade 3 to grade 6, 75% black owned. We can never be excited by that. You can never be excited by that. Why not grade 6 to grade 9? After 10 years since your establishment, you want us to be excited by from grade 3 to grade 6. Grade 6 to grade 9. That is what you must be talking about. And yet there is 20 million that must be spent at least each financial year for the next 3 years. Contractor development. I don't think that is correct. But also, when I go through the statistics from the register of contracts, the black owned by grade only, you only indicate here the grades and the black owned companies. You don't indicate where exactly the class of work of these black owned companies, because we want to get a sense whether the bulk of these companies are on general building or civil engineering. We want to have a sense so that we know where are black owned companies located in terms of class of work. Is it in engineering? Is it in general? It should not be that, because we find that the bulk is on general building. My last question is on youth. I see here, correctly so, women owned by grade. Where is youth? We want to have a sense here. You know, we want to know, where is youth? You must tell us, class of work, young people, where are they? How many are in grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, and so forth? And what is the percentage? Because you'd also appreciate that percent of young people, in fact, 70% of young people are unemployed in this country. Where are they here? You know, you mentioned it in person as though it is captured in your presentation, yet it is not, unless I have not read it correct. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
I think what I'm going to say is let me clarify the position. When I said that we can separate grade 1 from the other grade, I was not saying we're not going to register grade 1. They're still going to be there, but we want to handle them differently because their environment is different. If I can just expand on this, we decided in 2007 to separate the registration because of the grade 1, because we were waiting for up to grade 1 waiting days to separate the grade 9. They now register over the counter and they are activated for 48 hours, which is quite a big improvement. And it has actually gotten decided. They remove the registration certificate. What they were complaining about certificate all the time. And since we did that, it actually clarifies the environment and they are very happy. But we are developing specific programs for grade 1. We are also, through the National Contract of Development, looking at specific program of development through the framework again, the clients must actually develop their own which are very specific. For grade 2 to 4, for instance, and for grade 5 to 6, and then 7 to 8. Grade 9 contractors can't develop because those are actually operating in their own state. And that is actually practical information. So we're not going to dump grade 1. I believe that we must continue to register them because they must get used to this regulated environment. Otherwise, we'll go back to the environment where they were not regulated before. But where it is not necessary to have them registered, because all they want is small projects here and there, small plumbing projects, maybe small hiring projects that will cost about 20,000 to 30,000. When you register them, you actually constrain them. But at the time when they feel that they are plumbing skills are now to be tested in the market and they need to register so that they can get to the project, then they have a choice of the pyramid. So grade ones are not going to be done. The issue of the pyramid, we actually don't create the pyramid. It's not CIT that creates the pyramid. It's actually, we accept contractors. That's the number that we're showing. When I said that all of our work is like that, it's actually a practical way of it happening, not because CIT or other persons have been done. It's actually contractors themselves, they get up there, they get graded, and we're just showing them numbers. I was saying in South Africa, it's actually a perfect case of the fact that we have a lot of grade ones that are coming. Not a fault of any customer in the country, it's the market situation. Grade 3 to grade 6, the fact that we're saying they are black holes, we're actually not saying that we're excited about it. What we're saying is telling us something. Either these people come and register because they are friendly, or established white friends who do not have to register. We need clients to actually interpret this information and make sure that when they appoint them, they make sure that they will actually do the project themselves, other than sending to somebody else to come back to us. But we monitor that information. Yes, it could be exciting to see more black grade 9, but it's based on their capabilities and it cannot be created by anybody except the contractors themselves, applying themselves, and clients actually giving them projects. When they finish those projects, they come back to the CIT to apply for an upgrade. And they apply for upgrades all the time. The fact that the statistics did not show class of work for black-owned construction companies. The statistics can actually be manipulated in any way. You can say, I want youth-owned construction companies. You can say, I want women-owned construction companies in mechanical engineering. I just want to give an example here of some old statistics, just to make sure that we can understand. This one deals with what I presented before when the number was still before. Black owned by race, black owned percentage by class of work, so the information you're looking for is actually available. Just that we would end up giving you a lot of statistics and we would not be able to actually present the information to you. So this one does deal with black owned construction companies by race, like we were looking for. Women owned construction companies by grade, which we're not actually reflecting yet, but it is available.
because the texts are huge. And this slide, for instance, I did not show. It shows the upgrades that have been happening for the monitor there. But when I mentioned in my opening remarks that we'll actually be sending these statistics, because you never know what type people actually want, but we send the standards that actually look like this. Class of work by grading even a specifically a particular problem, and then you can go to the state. As opposed to the slide that I showed, it shows yes by grade, going through them but summarizing them all. Here you actually see the actual details by grade, by class of work as well. So that's how it is. When we give summaries, we just want to indicate that it is working for it, but we actually make sure that it is sent there.
Follow-up, Chair?
No.
Chair, I raised one issue on youth owned companies by grading, not women. Youth, rather.
I was just saying this is also available. The youth-owned construction companies, that is Texas, we have it here. Because this, again, we've been presenting around the country. But I have other tests that come through that actually show you. But what happens is you go into the system, you say, I want you owned by grading, by class of work, the system actually packages that information for you. So it depends what you want. So we can actually prepare it and do that.
Please, thank you.
What is your sense? You wait for the what is your sense? Are you making the agreement for?
Well, let me start here. I think some of the things we started with the registered contractors. We are now moving into an area where we have the number, and now manage the number and share the information. The challenge is the perception that CID must give the way. We don't give them. We assess contractors, and then based on that assessment, we then allocate the way. It's their license. When they go and look for work, government departments, municipalities and SOEs must then give them work. The challenge for all government departments and SOEs and municipalities is that they can't give work to everybody. So then they will be getting one project every 5 years. The contractor development programs must then be customized for each client who will say, I will take on the trains from grade 2 and move them to grade 4. I would take from grade 5 to 5 and 6 minutes moving them up to grade 7. This is how I'm going to do it. The gap that we're showing with this slide, for instance, it tells you that you have left ownership up to 75%. But left ownership actually goes down when you move to the upgrade. The client must say, I will contribute by dealing with grade 7 to 8. Make sure that I give that support. They must formulate their strategies on the basis of the numbers that we're presenting. We've got the numbers, we're presenting them so that people can actually use them. Yes, it is disappointing that the numbers have not grown as fast as everybody would expect, but we're dealing with a very unique industry. Construction takes time. Contractors need to be mentored. We work with people that have been in the industry for 20 years. And there are people who believe that they must go to those that know best. There are those that believe they must not go to those that know best. They demand for them. Now, it's a challenge for clients because we will not increase contracting capacity if we don't have the mental entire project. That is why the board has decided to fast-track contracting development. Because for quite a long time, clients were not understanding what the contracting development was doing. They thought here if you are giving them a formula that they must go and implement straight away. You would say, this is the framework. You then develop your own contractor development because you award a contract. You then manage the growth of the contractor through that project. And then they come back to CMC to give them the higher grade to take that higher project. So it's not where we would like it to be, but it's the nature of construction. It doesn't happen overnight. It's different from if I get a tender to supply computers, I know what my markup is, I supply a million computers and I make my profit. Here, you do construction of a road. Next time you start with a bridge and somebody mentors you until you build a few bridges and you know what the critical points are in the bridge construction. One day you'll be able to construct a gap, but it takes time. The failure, for instance, a lot of people are angry that they couldn't get the slice of the pie. But the reality is you don't say somebody doesn't know how to build a failure.
and then it's corrupted while people are playing soccer. So these are the intricacies, which is why the TFMA and MFMA have regulations that say, in terms of construction procurement, please use the AD1 and not normal national treasury.
I'm going to take
more
that the consultancy, the consultancy, the interest of our people, you know,
So there are lots of problems that affect our people, you know? And really, we've been talking this over and over and over again, and our people are suffering daily, because of the ICT. So this is the point. And then you've got 27 million in the budget for cancer. And that is a cancer in the region. About 6% of your budget. What process is there? I mean, I think they must be the starting to take the freedom of the president. If you what process of the study for the president, about 80% of the budget.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you failed this presentation. You can send this one.
No. Thank you, Secretary. Mother, remember, I think the way we treat contractors is exactly the same whether they're cheap or small. We look at only two criteria. We look at the business element, which is the financial, and the financial capability. So you don't have capacity, you have capability. And then we need to look at the technical side, where we look at work capability. For your grade 9, for your grade 6, for your grade 2, your grade 1 is actually 2.5. So we don't discriminate among contractors. And actually, when we register contractors, we base our decision on evidence, documents that are sent to us. Now, I think the fact is that the established companies were actually operating in South Africa for a long time. Now, when you test their capability, it will always be high up there. So it's not because CREP does not like their contractors. I think the management of CREP is not a majority plan. But the problem is, in construction, when we ask for the check, if people don't have the track record, the question is, should CIT give them a higher grade even if they don't know how to do the project because they are black? Or should you be saying, let's fast track their development so that one day they can get the facility from? But I just wanted to clarify that we don't discriminate between contractors. Small contractors, black, women owned, etc., or white owned, grade 9, we assess them exactly the same way. Actually, one of the chapters we could request that through the chat session, we invite the members to take you through the process. We will actually show you how we do the assessment, and that there is actually no difference in the way we have contracted that invite. The issue of the professional here is actually not related to the professional in the field environment. The professional that we use, like how the same is in the presentation, that, for instance, when we implement EDM, electronic development system, the bank that implemented the same. So we use those professionals to implement it. When they implemented it, we then come. So this is not a professional. When we have people that deal with procurement systems that might exist in South Africa, we need people that understand procurement systems for construction, because it's always different from general or generic procurement information. So we need people that understand the system. They'll only be used when we need them. After that, they move away. So the professionals, we can actually give a breakdown of the professionals that we use and the reasons why we use them. But it's not professionals in the built environment as such. It's professionals specialized in specific areas. I don't know if the CFO would like to explain it to you, but that process is actually managed very carefully. We even find agreement with some of the professionals that we must capacitate our own employees in procurement delivery, procurement and delivery management process, where we get the best engineers, but they are not able to actually assist clients in terms of what we are doing now. For instance, we don't deal with hard cost skills only, we also deal with issues related to planning, procurement documents. So we then train those people, we find agreement with these professionals to take our own shop so that in future, tomorrow for instance, there are people presenting in the same case in the provincial technical workshop. The people that are presenting there are normal consultants. They are staff because we capacitated them. Now even junior people that have been employed, we employ them, we capacitated them. So it's a very important area, but in fact, we can give you a breakdown if you have the kind of
thank you. I think that we have been given the question that the honorable member raised, or the concern that he raised, is something that we it's not something that increasingly, and I think part of the pressure or part of the sense of frustration is that people feel that if they come and register with us, that they will then get a project, that they get a job. But the fact is, it was not his fault. I really plead with honorable members to understand our difficulty of situation. We have no authority or mandate to award contracts. The contracts are awarded by the government department. We simply register. And we register people according to their ability to deliver projects at a particular level. I think we know this, but let me I'm a little bit sensitive to the fact because this is a very sensitive issue. You know that we had an earthquake in Haiti, and we saw the destruction that earthquake caused. That was an earthquake of about 7.7 on the first September. It was a very bad earthquake. But Chile had an earthquake that is a record breaker for many years. It's about 8.8 on the first September. The destruction that earthquake caused in Chile was less than the destruction it caused in Haiti. Because in Haiti, the construction was not earthquake resistant. Now, I'm only using this as an illustration. It's a very bad example, please forgive me. But it shows that the country, the delivery, infrastructure delivery, must be based on technical requirements. And that people who deliver infrastructure, especially, should know what they are doing. And that's simply what we agree. We're not excluding anybody. We're not creating a paradigm. In fact, on the contrary, we have established mechanisms for companies to move up the grid. And we have passed on that mechanism to the government departments as well. We created what we call a potentially emergent grid in each of those lower grades, up to grade 8 even, up to grade 8. So that a company in grade 6, for instance, normally registered in grade 6, if it's black owned, can get work for grade 7. And once they have done that work, their record now becomes stronger and they can come back to us to upgrade. And when they upgrade to grade 7, they can also do work for grade 8. Once they've done that work, and we don't award the project, the government department won't award the project, and that's the point that the CEO is making, that it's a collaboration that we must have with the government department. And the government department will say, we are going to undertake this project, this initiative of developing our people, because we've got the project. But the CDB has not got the project. So I would really plead with honorable members, if they understand this with us, because the people on the ground who are applying for registration don't see this as a ticket to get work. And it is frustrated at CDB. So it's not the CDB that's the problem, it's the concept. And let me just clarify also, our requirement for registration is 21 working days. Apart from grade 1, because grade 1 we activate within 2 days, once there is a ready count. But the other grades are registered within 21 days, if they have given sufficient documents when they apply. And the problem that we face is that they don't give sufficient documents. So we have to go back to them and say, please apply this missing document. And then they will tell you, in any endeavor, they will say, the CIDB is not ready to move. They are taking forever. But they haven't given all the documents. So these are some of the frustrations we face. Internally, we don't have a problem registering within the time that we set. In fact, we do most of the registration in shorter time. but we don't always get all the dots, and that is for
okay. I don't understand that.
on this baby. I want to say, 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 I want to say
understand accurately, and thus even some things that can be done here. And to send a few contracts out there, pay it, would actually change their mindset so that they take it for business. So it's quite a deep rollout that we're going to be doing, because a number of elements working with people in Karachi, working with the staff, not being college, that's actually something similar to what they had in Germany. And I came to visit them last year in January, and I said, well, we actually need to leave them, because that's the beauty of doing that. The issue of the triple C is that the triple C is actually linked to the main business. But the triple C is, as you say, do registration for grade 1, so that's part checker. They collect the documents and accept that information for grade 2 to 9. But the registration engine for grade 2 to 9 was quite complex. Done it is. But they can plug in and see at what stage the contractor is. So the contractor doesn't have to go to the choice. They can actually go to the triple C office here and say, I sent you my documents. Three companies, they say that these documents are outstanding, they can pick up. Once you submit them, then they can start. They can submit the documents here, the courier service has to run around the country all the time. But if people have a problem, they want to make an appointment, they make an appointment with me. While I was coming here yesterday, I facilitated a meeting for the office for somebody to be there. As I was here, I also encouraged them to contract with one of the sometimes it's not me that makes it involved, registered management, but we facilitate them. So, therapy is the engine of registration for grade 2 tonight, while the triple C register grade 1 is completed, but they collect information and assist with registration. The new software that we talk about is actually maybe assist with other grade 2, very, very basic registration.
Two more people, Manama and Manama, and then I think it's close.
No, I'm actually kind of the word came in
the name
well, thank you very much. Well, Chair, of course, we appreciate the responses, but, you know, I think we must not make the mistake of, you know, assuming that people don't understand how CITP works. People understand very well how CITP works. They understand that CITP does not give projects, but it registers contractors. They understand that very well. And some of us who interact with these people, and hence representing them here, we know that. But Chair, just to say, of course, as we move forward, because you have correctly put it that we are not at war, we must be able to provide solution. We will be monitoring these figures and how moving forward they escalate, for lack of a better word. Because if we are saying currently at grade 9 there are 13 black-owned entities, we must come back at some point and say, well, what measures have you put in place, or rather, how have they moved from 13 to 15? And we are not saying you must, you know, move these companies to 15 or 16 or 17 even if they don't qualify. But we are saying many of them qualify through the very contractor development whatsoever. Many of them qualify. If that is not packaged within your mandate, then your mandate must be extended. But many of them qualify. Somehow they must move from 13 and they must go to 20. They must move from 20, they must go to 30. You know, we are trying to empower the historically disadvantaged. We can't advantage them even further. But I can assure you that people on the ground really believe CITP is just some gatekeeping mechanism and it's there to disadvantage them from this empowerment concept. Thank you very much. It was just a caution that we will be monitoring it very closely so that we see some improvement, and if there are no improvements, then CITP must close shop. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
fear about trade shopping. If you don't shape up, you feel that you have to shut up. I don't know, you can hear that another member of union. So we do that, we are very happy. We are ready to share this.
Thank you for your minute. Again, I comment that this is a sensitive matter, and I appeal to honourable members and I know you want to ask us to do our work well and do that. Let me again explain this. The construction industry, contracting, is an entrepreneurial. Someone could do very well as a trade for contract for 5 years as long as they're getting work every time. So they get a project, finish the project, there's another project in the pipeline, they get them, finish it, they may not need to go to get nice. It appears that I will explain these two aspects of it. There's one aspect that says, unless people bunch up at grade 9, there is no progress in the system. And I think that is not, in my view, that is not a demonstration of progress. Demonstration of progress is that people are generating profit from business activity. They might stay at grade 4, they might go to grade 9. But if they are qualified to go to grade 9, then we must not stop them. If they want to stay at grade 4, and they are happy at grade 4, that's fine. The real problem I see is availability of work. If we do not have projects in this country, this complaint will reach a crescendo. And unfortunately, the contracting firm society will see the ZED as the obstacle. It doesn't surprise me. Any establishment that regulates, that gives a license to practice, is always seen it as an obstacle when the shape of the tie became small. If it can't expand, people are busy working. Many of these complaints will fall away. Because I come back to this point, that there is a perception that we facilitate, that we are linked to project availability. We are not. Because the availability of projects is with the client department. They must do the job. If this take for instance, there are 100,000 registered entities on our system. Let's say that because of the infrastructure project, the 3-year infrastructure project, 800 billion, that the departments are geared, because there's also a problem with capacity in the department, that they are geared to marshal these, to package these projects and put them out. And put out 100,000 projects. I'm telling you, you will not hear a single complaint about that. I can assure you that. Because people will be busy. We do not concern them. People complain when they see a grade 8 contractor busy on the site, but they are registered on grade 3. And they say, well, if only I was registered on grade 8, I'll be having that job. This is the thing that generates. So, to me, we as board are tackling this matter. It's a very urgent matter for us because we know the sensitivity on the ground. We understand the pain that people are talking about. And we are talking about, we are looking, we have our sort of insight. We are even saying, let's have another look at the criteria and see whether we are disadvantaging people. Keeping in mind that if you build a bridge, it must stand. It doesn't matter the argument we have here. If that risk collapses, it's a disaster for the country. So, keep that in mind. But what can we do? We are asking ourselves that question before. It's a pity that because the economic activity is not at the level that is desirable, people are tired and saying, the CIDP is preventing me. And from where we sit, we have a different view. But we understand the pain, and we can help where we go. We understand that. Please. Honourable members who understand that.
All right.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'm not sure that I did not respond to one aspect of the session. But I'll just say it and then I'll talk to her outside of the meeting. I think she was checking if the established company was submitted to the tribunal of this project. If the established company would not, if the client would not actually have his project in such a way that we demand that smaller contractors to be careful. She has worked hard to actually give examples of how this thing can be done, placing our project, combining them so that they give advantage to be made better. So we do that, and clients are actually aware of it. I think the problem again is the capacity within clients. But a lot of people have actually resigned from client bodies and they're now working as consultants for the same department. That's another problem. So we do get, we sort of give advice to clients that they can actually demand, the choice is there. They can demand that a couple of clients said, well, I built this stadium, but in terms of the smaller things that must come there, if a core contractor can do it. So we demand that main contractor, the subcontractor, the core contractor can do this. They actually have a right to do that, to capture them. The second point that I wanted to raise is, while we may actually request that we invite members of the council and members of the CLG, and we can actually have more time, like Jefferson was saying, without being recorded, but the kind of time, the time that we speak to you here is actually limited. So it takes you through the process. We actually have problem managers that couldn't come here, that's just an ability. That could actually take you through their own problems and tell you how to do it. Yes. I think that would actually make sure that the information goes out there. The last piece is, I have the honorable member on the extreme right actually say, yes, saying that the member is actually monitoring. We are actually the message here, to say we are not. I would actually request the member to ask the department if they are using the same data. The contractor comes to us and compare that department to the people. That's the one that I was talking about, where let's own, let majority own construction contracts, own by black people, and they can do a project one grade higher than where they are. We need to explain that. And we need you to assist us in talking to municipalities and ask them, how are they doing? We had a meeting with the minister who was saying, looking at your numbers, first you must actually say, what projects can we give to people? That's the kind of intervention that we'd like to see. And I think this committee can actually assist by asking the client to actually change his money, because you can't change the money. It's the client that will assist the contractor with the project, and when the contractor comes to us, you see the number change. So I'm just requesting that you don't ask us to change numbers, but you ask the department to give away, and you see the number change. And it's going to be very difficult. We have the issue. Thank you.
Follow up, Chair.
What has been the limitation in your operation? Not the vertical, but the operation site. That's what I have to do. And what we have to do for the function. You see, the government is taking silent to say that the function. So if you have also. Don't be too passionate about your limitations. Then end them. Be passionate about them, but break those patterns. We don't want you to take a hands-off approach of this. Let's say, can members help you? You can help them. You should be able to be active. Just to say, these are the contractors that we have. You must never underestimate the power of that. That can give a great education. Because that's what should be new. Some people are saying, I can do this job, but I don't have the necessary. Because maybe because of financial constraints, you might not have the money, or they might get all those and the other. So that's why you see the gatekeeper. Because you want money and robbers, you're keeping Tau and Lion. So that's why the problem comes. You see, during the period of recession for the construction business, who will have the decision? Who must do that and then the
Why do you say that at grade 4 I can do the job and be happy thereafter? So much I can do. The limitation here is that the person at grade 9 can do a grade 4 job. But the person at grade 4 cannot do a grade 9 job. When they are, when these tribes, these elephants come and graze there, you see, and our graze says the leopards and others. So that's what they, it's a jungle. That's what they have to do. So I'm just appealing that we all have to work on the transformation of the construction. That's basically what we need. Not in a peaceful manner, not in a limiting legislative session where you limit yourself. Take the body of check. Let's move forward. And not to just make you not do it, but I'm just worried that sometimes you hide behind the limitation of the hope. You see? And this is the best way that I think that everybody here comes from that. And those things. Let's go. I think I just wanted to go. Hey, Rose Malana, you wanted to follow up with this. I hope there's the last one.
Yes, this is
the last one, Che. Che. I think the CEO is correct. We must be able to engage department, but I think you've really answered today. That themselves, that is what we are saying when we are when I propose that if it be that your mandate be extended, then so be it, so that yourself are able to work with this department, and then there is a link, because there must be a link somehow. You must be able to create that link with this other department. But also, I don't think anybody sitting at grade 4 would behave unless I'm at grade 4 and I'm not moved to grade 5. But that is precisely why this BEE concept was introduced, so that we try and correct the economic imbalance of the past. We cannot be saying people must stay at grade 9, Murray and Roberts, and then Tao and Lyon must stay at grade 4. We want Tao and Roberts to be at grade 9 so that they compete equally there. At grade 9. It cannot be that somebody would say, I'm happy at grade 4. BEE was precisely to correct that. That Down and Drop and Lion must go to grade 9. Nobody would be happy sitting at grade 4 and say, no, I'm happy at grade 4. Those in grade 9 must just sit at grade 9. No, no, I think that is a moving forward. I think those are things that are not correct. Thank you.
Honourable Member, thank you for your comment. I really would not have commented except for one thing, that when you do profitability, I'm not a construction manager and a quantity surveyor, you can be more profitable as a grade 4 contractor than as a grade 9. You can be more profitable. So it's not a question of being happy because you're in a lower grade. And I use my words very carefully. I said you are making money. You can make a lot of money as a grade 4 if you have the work coming through. It's about profitability, it's about how much money you make as a company. That's what keeps you happy. I know companies that are happy to be at lower grade, based on our system. Because at the higher grade, your cost, overhead cost is very high. So in fact, when you hire a great company, send us a small job, you know, like elephant coming to feed in the backyard, there's papa, because their overhead costs are very heavy. So it's a market system. It's a very dynamic system. So it's not a question of, and then let me say this. If all the companies in our system, 7,000 of them, end up in grade 9, I'm telling you, we're going to have a very big problem. Because it
has cost the price.
Yes. I wish it was the case. We would have another 200 companies in the lower grade. I have 7,000 to offer them. So I wish it was the case, but I come back to the point, and we will work as the chairperson has challenged us. We will work with the department. We will write to them, we will talk to them, we will address them, we will do more. But at the end of the day, there must be work available. That is where the solution lies. There must be work available. It's not grading. We can grade all of ourselves to grade 9. If there's no work available, we will have to.
Just this year was the understanding that the play is not unequal. Okay.
that's why you are there to do the training, because it's ready to come. Okay. And all the other people were saying, not that we did that. But we were just saying that just attach equal importance to the grading, the profitability, the overhead story, which you know that we can argue about, or this aspect as well, and so on and so on. But it's important that you take it. And the market situation is like this. At times you get jobs, at other times. It would be much better if you had a level playing field that says you've got equal racial groups in your life. I think we know it because we know the situation which created the skills in us. Then that's real competition. But now still in favor of the grade 9, which were historically advantaged before. That's what we are saying with this transformation. You see, I'm not going to... Let's take another case. The registration of contractors is very important. But it's not to say that they are not contractors. You know what the accountant went to? When I go to the council, how they come to the contractor already. He comes to register, he uses this point to go and produce it and just render him. That's what they did long ago. That's why sometimes we regret it for counting. When they come, we give them bottles, basic damage, we take our money. That's why it happens. You see? And it has been happening since the beginning of the big hole, which fell to hell. We also came by the big hole. We don't mean regional or national, but we are just saying that don't take shortcuts, and say the registration is low without knowing the dynamics, or that there is no registration. But I think the important point is that the transformation is better, and that's what we need. You have alluded to amendments to the legislation. You see, I think the point that we discussed was just here, we don't seem to be having any discussion on the books and so on. We have something to offer in the beginning. But you are not the one that has any lectures. There are 10 things that we should be met, but as I'm saying, we need to come back to you. In this slide, there was a last slide that was illustrating the problem of clinical programs. It's not in the package. It's just in the And there's one also that one of the. So I'm just saying that for the record, that the presentation, so you might want to come back. Not to come back, just to send it. The one other thing that we must be able to appreciate, not only that, is the electric level of contact. There are people who know how to do the electric level, not how to put up a contract. So as you say that, you charge people on the report, of course, they use the electronic report. But let's take those dynamics into account. If you are for you, electronic reports will go. But if the elephant is alive, I have in the conversation, there must be a mechanism. Not to punish them, not to punish them. Oh, the client. Okay, I'm not going to do that. No. I'll just want to go there. So this is. What I said, I don't want counting people, it's not to trust. We will not, because of them, don't bother me. Yeah, she's innocent. But I know the grudge that we have about context out there. There was a present verse recently. If you must just take the profile of Google,
who got the contract? But who did the land? Who took the land? You'll understand the low legislation and so forth. Anyway, I'm not just saying it, I'm just stating some of the things. That people do something like money. Members, can I close the meeting? Is there anybody else for that burning issue? I must actually thank the CAG for it. And the chair CEO and the CEO. Sir, you have said nothing since the change. Say something. You and Hubby Bubby will be okay. It must be something that is there. You see, you guys just come and smile and say that. You are the last one. You know, okay, I'm breaking the protocol. Yeah. The protocol must be broken.
Thank you, sir. All of us put on very much to talk about the budget in the our overall budget growth over the 3 years averages 5%. Our revenue growth, as the CEO of the new page is 32, which is the registration, and as well as the service. And on the registration side, we have an average of 9% over 3 years. The 10-11 year is about 12%, which will update a bit in the next year, which is about 8%, so that average is about
10%.
That's enough. You can conclude now. You don't conclude. Thank you, sir. But overall, cost-wise, we start to be
I would like to thank
all the honorable members for having extended our attention. I know that we will be still around for 2 months. So we appreciate it. Thank you. Also, one more.
You can just give to the lady, she's got a very patient. No, thank you very much, members, honorable members, and CIGP, our guests. CMG, you can raise your hand now. You just come and disrupt our meeting. Hey, you raise your hand. Hey, I don't care you. Hey, man, you can become rules of time. That's rude, eh? Okay, my dear.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Please see us all. Honorable members, we are thank you.
Gracias.